we had a text come in. We're talking about lightning control, lightning protection. Gentleman writes in and says, my architect said not to install lightning protection because it will just attract it. What do you think? I think your architect's wrong.
I agree with you, Romy.
And
it does not attract lightning. It's a shield. Should lightning penetrate your cone of protection, it will intercept it, but it will not attract lightning. And another thing about lightning, I was telling you some of the things about it that intrigued me. They say it never hits twice in the same location. That's wrong.
I
know a man that built a cabin, or actually he picked a cabin up at Holly Lake with a helicopter and flew it 40 miles. Can you imagine that? Seeing a cabin flying in the air underneath a helicopter.
I think I'd pinch myself and slap myself on the face.
Yeah, you think you're in the Wizard of Oz kind of experience, right? Plopped it down on his property, and shortly thereafter, it was hit by lightning and burned to the ground.
Mm.
Built a new cabin, and 2 years later, the pine tree right next to the house got hit by lightning and burned the cabin to the ground. So lightning does, it will strike twice in the same location, just not very often.
So I would encourage your architect to go to rosieonthehouse.com. Go to the do-it-yourself resource tab, select lightning, and listen to the one-hour podcast we have on there with Bob Brown of Lightning Busters.
Okay.
And if he's not convinced after that, that the $3,000 or $4,000 or $6,000, just depending on however big your home is, to install lightning protection isn't worth it, then, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Boy, that's true. All right, let's get to Carrie, who's been very patiently waiting. Carrie, thank you for calling Rosie on the House. This leaves an open line for you if you'd like to get in at 1-888-767-4348. We'd love to visit with you, the Arizona homeowners, here at Rosie on the House. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. I bought a house last fall, and after we were moving in and painting, we discovered that in the small dining room, they had put wallboard over an existing window. The window on the outside, the house is a wood frame with a stucco finish, and there's just a small gangway between that and the house next door. We discovered that there's a window on the outside. We weren't told that this had happened, and we're not sure whether it's even against code or not. So I was wondering what you might have to say about that and whether we should frame and stucco the outside of this window.
You think the window's still there?
Oh, it's there. You can see it from the outside. You can see the frame and the back of the drywall from the outside through the window.
This was a surprise to you? The home inspector didn't catch that?
The home inspector didn't catch it.
Okay.
It's kind of in the gangway, and the air conditioner gets in the way, and you can see the window. I assume he was just looking at the window and didn't realize that he was seeing the drywall from the inside of the house.
The backside. Well, I will tell you this, Carrie. There are certain codes as it relates to windows in a home. In a bedroom, you have to have a window big enough to crawl through should you need to escape the house during a fire. It's called egress regulations.
Sure.
There's another code that every room in the house has to have a certain amount of square footage of natural light coming in. And I will have to tell you, that is one of the codes that I used to, a long time ago, have memorized. I couldn't even come close to guessing what that is anymore. I'd have to look it up. But where are you?
I'm in Phoenix.
Major cross streets.
32nd Street in Thunderbird.
Yeah, okay, so you're city of Phoenix proper. You could get down. I will tell you this. Of all the cities that we have built in, and we've built in virtually every city in Arizona, of all the cities we've built in, the customer service at City of Phoenix Building Department is almost unequaled. Get down there and just visit with them. Take pictures and show them what you've got. Take a little simple floor plan of the entire house depicting where the other windows and what size they are. And just visit with them, and they'll kind of coach you through whether or not there is a code violation there or not. I'm guessing, because she said there was an air conditioning system just outside that window, I'll bet you it was to abate the noise. That would be my guess.
Good call.
Carrie, thanks for the call. We've got a full load here. Romy, we're going to try and jump through them as quick as we can. Look at the super cooling.
Well, that was I was kind of wondering, are we going to go that topic or should we cover a couple bullet points?
We've got text messages.
Opens a can of worms every time we go there.
We've got Donna. She wants to talk about super cooling and a possible conflict with her solar system. And we've got Jim in Phoenix super cooling. He's now retired and doesn't want to be cold. Let's go to that one text that you were talking about that came in. You've got the one on the water pressure.
Okay. This is Steven, and he wants to know if it's worth installing a pressure regulator valve. He has faucets outside regulated to irrigation. So this must be after the backflow prevention, which isn't typical. Usually an outdoor faucet is separate from the irrigation line. And he wants to know, is it worth putting a pressure regulator on because they keep leaking over time? And every plumber comes out and says, well, unless you don't have a pressure regulator on, they always will leak because your pressure is so high. Mm. They're not built to withstand your pressure. Well, I don't think those faucets are on the irrigation line. Or if they are, it's probably not a pressure situation that you're dealing with there. But is a pressure regulator worth the investment? Absolutely, because most homeowner insurance policies will not cover broken pipes or faucets or problems inside your home caused by high pressure. They all say up to, I think it probably varies, but it's around 50 pounds. Depending on where you are in your line from the city, sometimes we've seen water pressure up to 90.
Yep.
And your appliances, your washer, your refrigerator, they're not made to withstand that type of pressure. So
it's great in a shower.
It's great in a shower. But you're very wise to install a pressure regulator. I don't even know if you can build a home anymore without one.
Yeah, you can.
Can you?
But it's so simple to test. You can go buy a pressure test gauge at the hardware store for under $10, and you just put it on the hose bib where the water comes into your house. You make sure everything in the house is turned off, and you turn that hose bib on full blast. It ought to be registering below 65 pounds. If it's above 65 pounds, yes, we would recommend putting a pressure regulator on and dialing it down to 65. Many plumbing manufacturers won't warranty their lifetime guarantee leak-free faucet if you're above 65 pounds. So there's your tip of the week.
Randy writes in and says, I just got my building permit, and it says I'm supposed to display it on the property. And I'm wondering, what does that mean? Well, that keeps the building inspector from coming and knocking on your door when he sees construction. So make sure it's visible from the street. We usually nail it to a sheet of plywood. We stick somewhere on the property where you drive a couple stakes in the ground and throw the plywood up against it. And
it's a great place. They also want the blueprints to the approved set of blueprints. So what we'll generally do, Randy, is we'll put a job board up on any long-lasting job, and we'll just slip the permit into a plastic sleeve to keep it dry in this upcoming monsoon season. And then we attach a PVC pipe to the bottom of that, roll up the plans, and stuff it in that PVC pipe. So the inspector, when he shows up, can see the permit, what inspections you have or haven't had, as well as pull out the plan should he need to refer to it for any particular reason. So it's the job board.
Required anytime you're doing work. And if that's not displayed, a building inspector, if they see it, they may stop and ask about it. Lee wants to know about making his home more efficient. He says he's heard of home energy audits.
Yes.
And he's leery of calling them because he's worried they're just going to come out and sell them a whole bunch of products.
That's a fair cynicism to have.
It is.
Not all home energy audit companies are created the same.
Correct. But the great thing is, Larry, you could always get a second opinion. I'm sorry, Lee. Or is this one, Larry? Lee was the last one. No, this is Lee. You don't have to buy any of them. Just because they try and sell you on something doesn't mean you have to buy them. And if you get a second opinion and they both match, well, then you probably have some legitimate information. You can also look at each one of those products and determine what's in your budget right now and how much it's going to save you. Because your alternative is what we used to do. We used to just replace the windows and then insulation and hope for the best. And then now a new efficient air conditioning unit and then fix the duct leaks. And we were always just hoping at that point that that would be the next solution. We're going to put on window treatments and we're going to do this. Well, with that home energy audit, you can just start attacking the items one at a time, starting from the most efficient to the least efficient. Because what that'll do is if you do the one that'll save you the most first, well, then you can start using that savings to build up,
there you go,
to apply that to the other projects you want to tackle on your home for energy savings. But understand, you know, no electric bill will ever get to zero, and you've got to calculate your return on investment. A $10,000 improvement that's going to save you $100 3 months out of the year during hot, hot summer months, that's a long payoff time coming. Now, it could be a quality of life thing, and an investment you're willing to make for comfort.
Exactly.
But I see you're a doing lot it of for the, money savings.
I see a lot of these home energy audits that are promoting LED light bulbs. And I tell you, I love LED light bulbs. But, you know, you're going to spend several hundred thousand dollars, and it isn't going to be a payback you're going to see anytime soon. I like the light. I like the philosophical statement of not putting in a CFL with the mercury that it has in the bulb. I like the bulb a lot, but I see people, home inspection companies recommending thousands of dollars of LED bulbs. And unless you're young, really, really young, you'll never see a payback on that. We're going to have to start, you know, I'm going to go off here, but it won't be for long. One of the things I learned early in my entrepreneurial career was find something nobody's providing and provide it. And Mike, how many hours a week am I at my desk reviewing someone's super cooling philosophy or home energy audit recommendations?
It's too many. It's 15 or 20 hours a week. To
the point you should take the entrepreneurship and start charging for those hours.
And that's my point, exactly. Somebody needs to offer a third-party review and analysis of every home energy audit, and maybe that's us. You get your home energy audit. You ought to get it by a Rosie-certified home energy audit provider, but even if you don't, we ought to start a service where people can fax us their reports. Because some of these people, what they're recommending is, it's not only laughable, it's disgusting what they're recommending. I don't know. This may be one new venture of Rosie on the House. Third-party analysis of all home energy audits. When we get back, we've got Donna, Jim, and Ron.